What? Okay. Hold on.
All right. How's that?
Great. Okay, I got you.
Sorry, that took a little bit.
Perfect. Perfect. Oh, perfect. We're going to love you today. Thank you. I want to introduce you to Rod, who's going to talk to us about interpreting and translating the Big Book into Navajo, and who was instrumental in that. And take it away, Rod.
All right, thanks. My name's Rod. I'm an alcoholic. I'm hoping everybody can hear me. Yes?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to put a picture of the translation of the Big Book. Sorry, it's kind of in reverse. I don't know how this technology thing works, but there's a picture of the finished translation of the Big Book into Navajo.
Nice.
And they're on audio tape CDs. So you can see that there's a number of them, about 13, 14 discs comprise the Navajo translation of the Big Book. And so I thought I'd have that for everybody to see. And I also was thinking that probably first thing I want to share, which is very, very important, is how important this work is. What we're talking about when we're looking at 12-step work, I mean, we're talking about translations into any language. That's 12-step work. That's carrying the message. And I remember hearing about the traditions. And our fifth tradition tells us what this whole process is about. This is the fifth tradition. Each AA group ought to be a spiritual entity having but one primary purpose, that of carrying its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. When you get down to basics, it comes down to one drunk talking to another drunk. And our first tradition tells us how crucial this is. Each member of AA is but a small part of a great whole, but individual welfare follows close afterward. AA must continue to live, or most of us will surely die. AA must continue to live, or most of us will surely die. It doesn't say some of us will surely die, or some of us might die. It says AA must continue to live, or most of us will surely die. And I wanted to start off this presentation with that, because I think it's so important for all of us in AA, Navajos, Natives, whoever and wherever you are, to understand how true that is if you're an alcoholic and part of this fellowship. We need to make sure that the doors of AA continue to stay open. And we need to make sure that those doors are wide, wide for anybody to come into our meetings, to come in and receive our life-saving message. Now, I believe it's true that culture, tradition, race, gender, handicaps, those kinds of things are all against the traditions and should not be in AA meetings unless it involves our 12-step work. Then it is imperative that we understand all of those things to the utmost so we can help those people who are Black, Native, blind, deaf, any of those kinds of things, gender, regardless of what the person is. If we understand who they are more, then our 12-step work will be more effective. And it's very, very important to remember that as we continue to go forward in AA's history. Remember, Bill wrote the 12 traditions. He called them the 12 points to assure AA's future. And I think we need to remember that. I would start too with some of the AA first in AA history. See, the first women's meeting happened in Cleveland in 1941. The first French-speaking meeting was in Montreal in 1944. The first black groups met in St. Louis in 1945, and there were the first meetings of AA started in Mexico in 1946. In 2001, I shared a little bit about the General Service Board yesterday. The first woman, who also was black, was the first chair, first woman chair of the General Service Board in AA in 2001. Now, some Native American AA firsts. 1987, Native American pamphlet was an agenda item at the General Service Conference, and it has been updated in 2009. There were revisions to that pamphlet. There are 16 stories in that pamphlet, and some of the tribes that were written in that pamphlet are Blackfeet, Cheyenne, Cherokee, Ojibwa, Navajo, Mi'kmaq, Oto, Comanche, and Athabascan. So you can see there's a great number of a variety of tribes that are represented in this story. And many of you know that there are over 500 tribes in the U.S. and Canada. And so I think it's really important to maintain or remember that message, that each of these tribes have their specific language, tradition, and culture, and different ceremony. So they're almost like countries unto themselves, and to remember that as you go forward in dealing with them. I just heard the question about how non-natives help natives when they come into the program. And I think one of the most important things that anybody can understand that crosses every language barrier or culture is respect and honor. Respect and honor anyone who may appear different to you when they come into an AA meeting. And that's one of the values that Native people honor, is respect and honor. The third edition of the Big Book, there was a Native story called Join the Tribe. In Wackypaw 2013, was held in Tucson, Arizona. It was the first AA event of this size held on Native soil. And they started having public service announcements broadcast about AA on Navajo radio stations in Arizona and New Mexico. The fourth edition of the Big Book includes two Native stories to the story section of the Big Book. And Join the Tribe was dropped. And I'll talk a little bit more about that here in a minute. The first AA meetings on the Navajo Reservation began in 1981. And of course, the Big Book was translated into Navajo in 2018. When I was a delegate in 1997 for Utah, I was randomly assigned to the literature committee. And one of our agenda items at that committee was the fourth edition of the Big Book. The first edition of the Big Book was in 1939. The second edition Big Book was in 1955. The third edition was in 1976, and the fourth edition was in 2001. So about every 20 to 25 years, there's a new edition of the Big Book. And remember, the only things that are changed are the story sections of the Big Book, not the first 164 pages. So right now, there is discussion of a fifth edition of the Big Book. And so I would keep in touch with your service representatives, your GSRs, your DCMs, your delegates, like I described yesterday, because they'll be able to tell you when the fifth edition is being prepared. And when that happens, if you're a member of the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, you can submit your story to be included in that fifth edition. And it's through that service structure that they'll tell you that the ways to go, the ins and outs of how to accomplish that. So in 1997, as a newly elected delegate to the General Service Conference representing Utah, I was randomly assigned to one of 13 committees. And it was about a month before I headed back to New York, I went, one of the things they asked you to do is to become familiar with AA history. So read the big book, read the Language of the Heart, read some of the AA history books that, that are here. Dr. Bob and the Good Old Timers, for instance, AA Comes of Age. And we were asked to become familiar with those writings. And so I got very interested in it. And I went to get an autobiography of Bill W. at this used bookstore. And I noticed a row of big books on the top shelf. And I reached for this one that didn't have a cover on it. And as I touched it, I could feel there was something very different about this, this book. And I opened it, and it was a first edition of the big book. $5. I could not believe it. Any of you who are familiar with first editions, they're, you know, $5,000, $10,000, $20,000, depending on the condition. And so, of course, I purchased it, and it just like that fell into my hands right before I go to the General Service Conference. In the third edition of the big book, there's a story called Join the Tribe. And that was the edition of the big book that I got sober on. I was probably about 15, 16 years sober when the fourth edition came out. So I got sober on the third edition of the big book. In that third edition, there was a story called Join the Tribe. And when I read it, I didn't really know what to make of it. And as I got more comfortable or thought more about my reaction, I kind of thought that story was, and this is me, you know, I'm not all natives believe this way, and I and some of them have told me so as I went forward, but I thought it was like a Hollywood caricature of native people, and I'd run across many native people and not one talk like that, and so I thought it was insulting and demeaning. And I talked at different AA gatherings with that thinking, and I shared my thoughts on that. And like I said, some people agreed and some people disagreed. And so I thought they should update the story, you know, put another one next to it or something like that to help deal with that, that situation. So I go to the General Service Conference, and like I said before, I'm randomly assigned to the Literature Committee. Guess what one of the agenda items are for the Literature Committee? Yeah, that there be possibly a fourth edition of the Big Book. So it is at this particular panel at the General Service Conference in 1997 that they're discussing translations, no, that they're discussing a new edition of the Big Book. And so, yes, I brought up my concerns with Join the Tribe. When you're assigned to this committee, they gave us some writings and some literature to help us with our thinking. And I'm going to read to you something that was given to us at that time. This is a letter Bill W. wrote to Bernard Smith in June 1954. The story section of the Big Book is far more important than most of us think. To increase the power and variety of this display to utmost should be, therefore, no routine or hurried job. The best will be none too good. The main purpose of the revision is to bring the story section up to date to portray more adequately a cross-section of those who have found help. Since the audience for the book is likely to be newcomers, anything from the point of view or of context or style that might offend or alienate those who are not familiar with the program should be carefully eliminated. And so those were some of the things that we were asked to take into consideration as we were discussing this. At the end of our discussions, we presented our committee of about 8 or 9 delegates, I can't remember exactly, presented to the whole General Service Conference, which is about 130 people, 93 of which are delegates from the United States and Canada. The others are staff people from the General Service Office and trustees from the General Service Board, of which there are 21. And we presented this, the agenda item that we presented was, the motion that we presented was, should there be a new edition of the Big Book? And we proposed that there should be. It was voted on, and only about 4 or 5 people out of the 130 voted against them. So that meant that the Alcoholics Anonymous would ask the fellowship to send their stories in to be included in the new edition of the Big Book. And that process started immediately after the 1997, and of course the Big Book, the new edition, was published in 2000. So I wanted to kind of present a little bit of that background, because I think it's really important to know a little bit about that so you can understand the importance of the Big Book and maybe a little bit of the history behind it. When AA was first beginning, there were meetings in Akron, Cleveland, and Manhattan. And after some time, Dr. Bob and Bill W. started to count how many alcoholics were staying sober. And they realized that they had a pretty good number for that time period. And they said, maybe because this is such a vital endeavor, what else can we do to help this along? And the answer was, maybe we should write a book. And so that's what they did. And the first 100 all contributed to thoughts and bringing that about and putting the Big Book together. And so I don't know if that beginning, and then how it started to be translated into, I think the first translations were French and Spanish. And now, at this moment, there are about 71 completed translations of the Big Book across the world. And I was looking to listen, as I was listening to our two previous speakers today, I was going through the, looking at the different members who were attending and listening today. And we have people from South Africa, New Zealand, Italy, you know, and I know I'm leaving out countries because there were more than that. let me read this little story to you to help me make my point. This is a story from a trustee who was from the trustee at large from Canada, who was also part of the General Service Board. I too went to Mongolia. I was sent to attend their first national convention. I'm a recovered alcoholic from the bush of Northern Ontario. What was I doing in Mongolia? I was there because that convention was the first gathering of all AA group representatives in the nation of Mongolia. It was a gathering of 67 representatives. I had traveled there with the manager of our General Service Office. With us, we brought the translation into Mongolia of 5 basic AA pamphlets, such as This is AA and Is AA for You. Those pamphlets were for the first time translated into Mongolian, and we had arranged for them to come with us. During a break in the session, the pamphlets were distributed. We were sitting in a round yurt, basically a large round tent. The delegates were sitting in five semicircle rows. The manager of the General Service Office and I were sitting at the far end. We watched as the pamphlets were distributed to the five rows of Mongolian delegates. Just like in school, they were handed down the rows. One took a packet and passed the rest on. And they looked at the pamphlet. I'll never forget what happened then. The Mongolian AA looked at it and said, "Wow." Only he said it in Mongolian. And that wave of sound began at one corner and traveled through the room. And the ones at the far end of the room were saying, "Are you sure? Are you sure?" The noise level of the room continued to rise. And then that second wave of motion, all eyes turned toward the head of the table to where Greg and I sat. I knew that this was a gift given to them through you. That's where the money goes when we pass the hat. Now I have the privilege of returning their thank you to you. I was given the gift of being there. You get the gift of knowing that it was given in your name. This is what translations do. Ever since I was being part of this endeavor, I wondered how it would have been to have been in Italy, for instance, and been part of that Italian fellowship when the big book was translated into Italian, or to be there when the Germans had that same thing, or when the Japanese had that same thing, to have seen the joy that those AA members from those different countries had experienced as they received the life-saving message of Alcoholics Anonymous in their own language. And I ask those of you from those other countries, maybe you were there, maybe you witnessed that. And I had a chance to witness that here in the United States. And to be part of that gathering through from almost the beginning till the end. I had a chance to go to Slovakia in 2000. Slovakia seceded from Czechoslovakia. And I had a chance to go to an AA gathering there. And one of their discussion items was translations of the big book into Slovakian. The very next weekend, I drove to Window Rock, Arizona, where they were having a local forum in Window Rock, Arizona, which is the capital of the Navajo Nation. And they were having discussions there of translations of the big book into Navajo. In subsequent weekends, I was in two different parts of the world witnessing and being part of those discussions. It was an unbelievable honor. And one of the things I took from that is this: no matter who you are, no matter where you are, if you need help in getting sober, Alcoholics Anonymous will be there for you. What a very awesome mission statement that is, and how privileged we are all to be part of that group that does not take that lightly, that we endeavor to pass on what has been given to us. And it has helped us with our spirituality and our sobriety and the way that we live our lives. And I just think these are all awesome examples of that. In 1999, when that local forum was held in Window Rock, and we started talking about those things. And I remember there was a delegate from Arizona. Some of you know, of course, that the Navajo Reservation, the biggest part of it is in northeastern Arizona, and then northwestern New Mexico, and southeastern, there's a small, the smallest part of it is in southeastern Utah. And the delegate from Arizona, Robert C. at the time, because he was in Arizona where the largest part of the Navajo reservation was and consequently the largest population, he started to gather together some Navajos and they translated the Serenity Prayer first. And then as the discussions became a little bit more real, I guess, and people thought maybe we can translate the big book into Navajo, there were more efforts. They translated some other writings of the big book into Navajo, and then for a period of time all of the efforts stalled. And then in 2010 I was elected to be the Pacific Regional Trustee, and I was talking to some of the delegates from Arizona, New Mexico, and Utah. And one of the things that came up was maybe we should do some more in helping this effort to come about. And so the delegate from Arizona, Suzette, she got together with some of the AA service structure in that area, and they started to help support the AA Big Book translations. I thought that my part was to try and bring to the attention of the General Service Board and the people back in New York as much attention to the effort as possible. And so the General Service Board met four times a year, and at every gathering, and I was a trustee for 4 years, so about 16 times over a four-year period, I always said, I have this vision that at some point, the translations of the AA Big Book into Navajo will happen. And the president of the Navajo Nation will receive that finished translation from the chair of the General Service Board. And we're going to have fry bread and mutton stew. And I said that every time I had a chance, because I wanted to keep giving energy and motivation for this worthy endeavor. Now, whenever any translation is attempted by the fellowship anywhere in the world, it must pass two tests. The first test is for accuracy. And what they ask all of these translation, all of these people who are translating the big book are asked to translate chapter 5 first. When they finish translating chapter 5, then the translation is looked at for how accurate it is. And the second test is, does it convey the spirit of Alcoholics Anonymous? If those two tests are passed, then the people who are doing the translation are asked to go ahead and translate the rest of the big book. So in 2012, there was a vote at the back in New York about continuing to fund these efforts. And I was so very happy when they voted in the affirmative and got some more funding to help with what was happening. whenever any professionals are involved in the process, then of course AA pays for their efforts. In 2014, it was announced that we were at the General Service Conference in New York, and it was, I believe, the first Saturday in May. The General Service Conference was being held in New York. At the very same Saturday in Albuquerque, New Mexico, they were having the Red Road Convention. Red Road Convention was attended that year by, I believe they said, about 600 attendees, most of them Native American, and most of the Native Americans Navajo, because of how close Albuquerque is to the Navajo Reservation. And so they were, all of the attendees were there, and because New York's a couple of hours ahead of time, we had voted that morning based on the translators passing those two tests. It was voted to have the rest of the big book translated. And so we sent that message, email that message, and by phone to, and by phone to the representatives at the Red Road Convention in Arizona. And I want to read to you what the response that we got back. I am so grateful to be part of this historic announcement. Our chair received an email about an announcement to be made at the Red Road Convention this week. The chair read the announcement during the opening invocation on Saturday, May 3rd. I was privileged to be asked to stand at the podium with him. I cannot put into words how emotional that moment was and still is. The chair read the announcement set up and people got very quiet. As he began to read the email, there was stunned silence. About halfway through, people began to whoop and cheer. After that, the room erupted into cheering and clapping. The announcement was read at each major meeting at the powwow. There was joy, honor, and gratitude. So you got a sense of how happy the people were to hear that the big book was could the rest of the big book could then be translated. And here, of course, is a picture of that translation, the finished translation. I want to show you this picture. This is the lady in the picture is the chair of the General Service Board in 2018. The gentleman in the picture is the president of the Navajo Nation. He had a chance on this particular Saturday. This was at the Red Road Convention in Albuquerque in 2018. And we thought it would be best to have that presentation there because there was already an event that was scheduled and set up. And we decided to make that, to have that presentation occur there. The president of the Navajo Nation, his name was Russell Begay. He said that he wanted to first thank his uncle, who he said was, I'm paraphrasing, but it was something to the effects of his uncle was a self-will run riot alcoholic, out of control alcoholic. And he said his alcoholism was so bad, it scared him into never ever taking a drink. So he wanted to thank his uncle for that. And he also said that on that particular Saturday, they have a marathon race in Albuquerque. No, in what was it? Shiprock, Arizona. And he said that it was the honor of the president of the Navajo Nation to fire the pistol that started that race. And it was an honor that every Navajo Nation president really enjoyed, to be amongst the people like that. And so when they contacted him to attend this gathering at the Red Road Convention in Albuquerque, the vice president said, I will go in your stead so you can go to the marathon. And I thought it was really cool. The president said, no, this is where I need to be. I need to be here to receive this from Alcoholics Anonymous as the president of the Navajo Nation, because our people have been so decimated by alcoholism. And I need to show my support, and also how important I believe anything helping Native people, Navajos, with alcoholism is. And so he was there, and the chair of the Alcoholics Anonymous General Service Board, Michelle Grinberg, she presented the finished translation to the Navajo president. And we brought about 1,000, and we started to sell those to the attendees there. And we had like about 300 left over. And I remember people going, well, I guess we're going to have to take them back to New York, and then people can order it through AAWS back there and get their translation if they'd like. And we went and talked to the president of Navajo Nation, and we told him what we were going to do, and he said, I'll just take all 300 of them. And he started to distribute them among the Navajo people. He gave it to his substance abuse department, and they've been distributing them since then. And so that's kind of the story of how the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous was translated into Navajo. I want to end by saying something that I think everybody can relate to. I had an opportunity when I was in New York as the trustee to share to the General Service Boards on a topic that they gave to me, which was carrying the message to Native Americans. And as I was making this presentation, and there are a lot of difficulties with this. One of the things that I used to run across a lot was Native people saying, this is a white man's program. And I remember when I was in the local forum way back in 2000, there was a man who said he was a Navajo who was alcoholic. And he said he tried everything to stop, and he couldn't. And he went to his medicine man. And the medicine man said, I cannot help you. He said, alcoholism is a white man's disease, and it needs a white man's cure. And so the gentleman, after he got sober, he thought that maybe the medicine man was talking about Alcoholics Anonymous. And it just kind of reminded me that how I used to run across that a lot wherever I went, that Native people would say, this is a white man's program. And one of the things that I think is so cool with the translation of the Big Book is no longer can a Native say that. And kind of like the translation of the Big Book into Navajo is a standard, is something that says what I mentioned before. Doesn't matter what tribe you belong to, AA is here for you too. And with some of the things that have been said this whole weekend, just about every speaker has said that whether it was Al-Anon or whether it was AA, somehow it fit into their culture. Somehow it fit into their belief system, and somehow it helped them, regardless of what their tribe was. And so that was kind of the thinking that I had as I was sharing with people on that particular topic back in New York. When I was sharing, I had this immense pressure. And it seemed like a huge responsibility. And I wanted to convey to the people there the importance of carrying the message to Native people. Now, yesterday in my story, I shared about my dad getting run over across the highway in the middle of the night, my brother and sister killed in a head-on collision from a drunk driver, my girlfriend ODing on Christmas Eve, and my sister died in 2014 from cirrhosis of the liver. One of the things I've been taught is Native people believe that when people pass on, they become your spirit guides. And as I was sharing this message, I had a feeling like the ancestors were behind me. And I had a feeling that they had been waiting for this for a long time. And I had a feeling that my father was standing in front of all of them. And I guess what's even more important than translations of the big book to any language, to any culture, is a simple message that we're a group of men and women who are drunks trying to help other men and women who are drunks. And we do that by loving them and by taking care of them. We continue to pass this message on to them. My name's Rod, and I'm an alcoholic. Thank you. I don't know what happened there.
I'm here. I'm sorry. Had to troubleshoot some stuff. We had to find a speaker last minute. So would you guys want to unmute yourself and give a shout out to Rod?
Thank you, brother.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rod.
I'm from Wales, and I'm saying thank you on behalf of the Celts on this.
On behalf of the Kentians.
All right, you all. Does anybody have questions for Rod? Stick your hand up. Rod, thank you so much. I will be going back and listening to it. Our closing speaker, unfortunately, can't be with us, but we have Cheryl W.H., who will be sharing her experience, strength, and hope at 1:45. Leslie, can you unmute yourself? There you go.
Hi. I was just wondering, how do we, if we want to buy a copy of the Navajo Big Book, how do we do that?
Oh, hold on. Can somebody unmute Rod? Sorry, and my video is off. Oh my gosh. I love my iPod. Can somebody unmute Rod, Galaxy 50, Billy, Lisa?
Time to find them on the screen. Everybody moved.
Rod, can you unmute yourself? Try it. Rod, can you unmute yourself?
How's that?
That's good. Where can they find the big book in Navajo? Where do you get it?
Well, you can do that a couple of ways. You can get a hold of call Alcoholics Anonymous in New York directly. You know, Google the phone number, or you can find your local AA central office. And if they don't have it there, they can get it for you.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Edith, can you unmute yourself?
I can. Good morning, family. I'm Edith from Alcoholic Rod. Thank you very much for the history, and thank you for your service for all of us. And what is your service commitment now, if you don't mind sharing with us?
Well, when I was a Pacific Regional Trustee, one of our delegates was finishing up his 2-year term as a delegate. And I asked him, well, what are you going to do when you go back to your home group in Puerto Rico? And he said that his home group bought him a little coffee maker to have at the back of the room with for him. So that's kind of what I do, is if I'm needed or asked, I respond. Otherwise, I sit in the back of the room and be supportive. That's called the spirit of rotation.
Thank you for that, Rod. Love that. Okay, Annette, can you unmute yourself?
Hi, my name's Annette. Thank you, Rod. Thank you for your service. I'm so touched. Think about how many people's lives are being saved by having this translation.